Hotels are highly charged locations. They see lots of people come and go and bring their own emotions with them. Rooms in the same hall might have newlyweds on their honeymoon, husbands kicked out after a massive fight, families fleeing bad situations, or parents escaping for a quiet night alone. Needless to say, you can have a little bit of everything all under one roof. But when you combine all of that living energy in a space that houses a lot more than just the guests who are currently checked in, some sensitive people are bound to have a restless night here and there. Nestled in the idyllic foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountain range is a hotel that is equal parts stunning and spooky. So spooky, in fact, that some guests have been known to leave their beds in the middle of the night and refuse to return to their rooms. And when you are in a location where accommodation is sparse and the weather can be harsh, you have to be really, really scared to choose to brave the elements of the outdoors as opposed to the horrors of your expensive boutique hotel room. Because at this California hotel, there really are some souls who checked in and couldn't or wouldn't check out. Hello and welcome to episode 14 of The West London Witch, a podcast where we share stories about those moments where we find ourselves very much not alone. Although I now live in London, I grew up in Southern California, and my family still resides there to this day. So when my now fiancé and I first started dating, meeting the parents wasn't quite as simple as popping over to mom and dad's for Sunday lunch. So in April 2018, we planned a big trip to California. We did everything. Drove down the one in a convertible, kayaked around Morro Bay, wine tasted in Paso Robles, had burgers and beer in Kernville, and hung out on the Strazina family farm. But there was one thing that we wanted to do more than anything. Hike. All over Yosemite National Park. So that's where our story begins. Just a couple on their first big vacation, exploring the beautiful gems of California and getting a lot more than just some cute Instagram pics and sweet memory. I'm Rebecca Strazina, and this is The West London Witch, episode 14, Sierra Sky Ranch. So let's start from the very beginning. How did we even come to find ourselves at Sierra Sky Ranch?
So it was a really special trip for us, as it was the first time that we were traveling abroad together. And I was especially nervous because it's the first time that I'd be meeting your parents. So it was a little bit scary, but it was really exciting.
This is Kyle. Although you haven't heard his voice before, you have heard his music. Kyle is the creator of the West London Witch theme music and is an incredibly talented musician and all-around amazing guy. But I'll admit, I'm biased.
Being honest, I probably got a little carried away with all the cool stuff that there is to do in California. The more I researched, the more I wanted to do. So we started planning our trip and booking in all kinds of fun activities. And I think this is the point where you may have got a little angry at me because I may have prioritized hiring a convertible Mustang over booking accommodation. I mean, I was happy to stay in the car. I think we could have made it quite cozy, but you were a little bit more picky than me. So our budget was spiraling out of control, and top of our list of things to do was hiking in Yosemite. So I was frantically scouring the internet looking for all kinds of deals on hotels nearby, and I happened to stumble across this charming little place that just so happened to have a half-price deal on the dates that we wanted. So I booked it on a whim, and this place was, of course, Sierra Sky Ranch in Oakhurst.
Sierra Sky Ranch is located in Oakhurst, California, about 10 or so miles from the southern entrance to the Yosemite National Park. The Now Hotel was originally established as a cattle ranch in 1875 and was converted into a hotel in the mid-1940s. It is beautiful, rustic, and really encapsulates the charm and feel of the California ranch life. The main ranch house really brings the great outdoors into this classic mountain retreat. There are high-beamed vaulted ceilings covered in wood cladding, massive stone fireplaces, and even a huge buffalo's head mounted on the wall. This Western retreat strikes a beautiful balance between luxury and casual cowboy life.
We had a stunning drive down. The sun was shining, we had the roof down in the car, and I've got to say, Oakhurst is perfectly pleasant with beautiful surroundings. But as soon as we entered the town, I got this incredibly eerie feeling. It's almost like, on the face of it, it's a normal, pretty town, but it felt like it was almost hiding a dark secret. It was almost like I could imagine us driving through the town, almost like Groundhog Day, seeing the same cars stopping at the same traffic lights at exactly the same time each day, seeing that same mechanic working on the same car on the side of the road, just looking up at us as we passed by. It was just a really, really bizarre vibe that I felt. It was a bit of a ghost town, really.
When we checked into the hotel, the man who helped us was very thorough. He showed us all over the property and even took us to our room. At the end of this rather inclusive tour, he leaned in close and said, "I don't usually tell people this, but you guys look okay. This ranch is actually haunted. And if you go on YouTube, you'll find all sorts of videos about it." And then he left, disappeared down the hall. Well, of course, we had to check it out. And that night, after a long day of hiking, we did just that. Tumbled down the rabbit hole of YouTube. To be honest, we were not totally convinced at the time. There were some videos of investigators exploring the property, but I wasn't overwhelmed by their findings.
Oh yeah, I'll be honest. I was quite disappointed with what we stumbled across. It was more comical than scary, I think.
Our room, however, was beautiful. But it did have a strange energy. At the time, Kyle and I hadn't been dating very long, and things were still very new between us. And neither of us wanted to admit to each other that the room felt unwelcoming. And there was an unshakable feeling of uneasiness. On our final night, after an incredible hike to the top of Yosemite Falls, we treated ourselves to a lovely dinner in town and headed back to the hotel to enjoy a particularly nice bottle of Tobin James wine we had brought with us. I realized that I didn't have a bottle opener with me, so I asked the lady at the front desk if she had one, and I also asked if she knew anything about these supposed ghosts. I was shocked when she responded that her parents actually used to own the hotel and had sold it to the current owners. She told us that if we liked, we could sit with her in the sitting room and she could tell us some of the stories about the property. Needless to say, she didn't have to ask us twice.
Absolutely. That was an ears pricked up moment for us, wasn't it? We were like, right, we'll be back in a sec. Grab the wine.
we're in for the long haul now. That's our evening sorted.
So every story she told was incredibly interesting. But for me, the most captivating and spine-chilling story that she told was when she was just 12 years old. During the winter months, the weather was always fierce and unpredictable up there. So her parents used to just close the whole ranch down for that period, as they had virtually no passing travelers ever wanting to stay. So it didn't make any economic sense keeping the whole place open during that time. Anyway, one night they had a knock on the door from a newly married couple on their honeymoon, asking if there was any vacancies for the night. Apparently, with their eyes closed, they circled a map with their fingers and decided to visit wherever their finger had landed, which of course happened to be Oakhurst. Her parents explained that they were shut down for the winter, but welcomed them in anyway. They got the log fire burning and made them feel very comfortable and cozy. So this girl had a friend over that particular evening, and there was these preteen girls having a sleepover, and her mum kept telling her, leave the newly married couple alone. Like, literally, the only reason they're sitting out here with us is to try and keep warm. There is no heating in the hotel. But the newly married couple were really obliging, and they were really sweet, and they were playing games with them. And then one of the girls suggested playing Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. The newlywed's husband opted to be the specimen to lay on the floor, and it was the two girls, the wife of the man, and the mum. So it's these four women who put their fingers underneath him and started chanting, Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. Now, the thing that got me was she looked at us dead in the eye and said, I don't care if you believe me. I swear this on my children's life that I experienced this. And you don't have to believe me, but I swear to you, as we started chanting, he lifted off the floor. At this point, they were standing up. They stepped back, removed their hands, and he was levitating a good 4 feet off the floor. His eyes were closed, and he said, okay, guys, you're going to start doing anything, as he's just floating over the hardwood floor. They kept chanting, light as a feather, stiff as a board. They put their hands underneath him and started to bring him back down. And when he opened his eyes, he was like, so nothing happened then. And the four of them were so shocked and terrified that they didn't quite know how to tell him that, yes, something did happen. You came all the way off the ground and then brought you back down, and yet you didn't feel anything at all. And I think the thing that convinced us so much was the fact that she was so adamant and said it with such conviction that she genuinely didn't care if we believed her or not. It was like she was totally at peace knowing the fact that people may not believe her, but what was important, she knew she had that experience.
Now, at this point, it's important that I tell you a little bit about the history of Sierra Sky Ranch, because it's vast and long. Although it was originally established as a cattle ranch, it's been used for many different purposes. When tuberculosis ravaged the world in the early 1900s, it was thought that clean mountain air could be very healing and restorative for patients. Sierra Sky Ranch was opened up and used as a tuberculosis sanatorium, and it opened its doors for men and women and children to rest and recover. Most did, but some lost their lives in the walls of Sierra Sky Ranch to the aggressive disease. In the 1940s, the ranch was used as a convalescent center for World War II soldiers and once again became a haven for recovery. In 1946, the ranch was officially turned into the guest house that it is today, and it was popular with guests looking for comfortable country experience. Even Hollywood starlets like Marilyn Monroe and John Wayne visited Sierra Sky Ranch for some quiet rest and recuperation. But we can't deny that the property has seen a lot of pain and suffering. The next story she told us that evening was about a nurse named Sarah. Sarah worked at Sierra Sky Ranch during the time when the ranch was being used as the tuberculosis infirmary. One night, a mother and father came to the ranch with their two small children, who were extremely ill and obviously not long for this world. The parents left the children, abandoned them to die alone, scared, confused, and forsaken. Sarah felt for these poor children and cared for them as though they were her own. She not only nursed them, but she mothered them, loved them, and ultimately contracted the disease herself from them. One morning, Sarah and the children were nowhere to be seen. A fellow nurse went to check on them and found Sarah and the two children cuddled up in bed together, dead. The story goes that they all died of tuberculosis. But I do find it interesting, even perhaps hard to believe, that they all died on the same night in the same bed of natural causes. Regardless, reports of ghostly children apparitions, children laughing in the night, and children running through rooms and halls are a very common report at Sierra Sky Ranch. Guests routinely complain about loud children in rooms that are empty or ominous laughter in their own room. And some have even reported that they've woken up to find children standing over them, watching them sleep. When the woman and her mother ran the hotel, she said that they experienced a lot of activity in what they call Sarah's room. They would clean the room only for guests to complain that the beds were unmade and the room was disheveled. She also said that the blinds would frequently open and close by themselves. At the time, the room had mini blinds, and she used to call Sarah's room the tweaker room, as the blinds would often be tweaked open as if someone was peeking out.
So just to give you an idea of what the space was like, when you walk into the main lounge area, you're immediately greeted by a large but incredibly cozy feeling space. It's all beautifully timber clad with deer heads and antlers and things like that hanging on the walls. And you can't help but look up to the vaulted ceilings where you notice this large mezzanine level sat on these really chunky wooden beams. In the middle of the room, there is this large coffee table with a sofa, like a double sofa, and then sat opposite a couple of comfy smoker's lounge style chairs. And these are placed in front of this amazing, really high open stone fireplace, which was crackling away when we were there. Glancing further to the far side, you notice like a second comfy seating area, and it had a smaller but equally beautiful fireplace and a set of double doors leading to the restaurant on over to the left. To the right-hand side, round about the middle of the room, was like this L-shaped staircase leading to the mezzanine level. You also notice that the staircase acted as this kind of barrier wall that stuck out, I would say probably about 10 feet into the room, just right about where the second seating area started. And then when you look behind this, there was a lovely little nook that was hiding this amazing old grand piano that guests are encouraged to play.
So as the evening went on, we told her, oh gosh, that mezzanine level looks really cool. Like, what's up there? And I have quite a history among our family and friends of being the person who asks to go places and people tend to say yes.
I've never met anyone who will go up to someone's front door and ask them to show them around the house before, but you will do it. Once you're inquisitive and want to be shown around somewhere, you will try and get your way.
My mom always says I'm going to be killed by just like knocking on someone's door and asking to come in, and the police are going to be like, well, it doesn't look like she was dragged here or anything. It doesn't look like there was a struggle. And it will have just been me knocking on someone's door asking if I could go inside. But it's amazing how many people let you do it. So I, at this point, I'm fishing. I'm using my witchy ways to see if maybe we can sneak a peek at this mezzanine level. And she tells us that when she was a teenager, that was her hangout spot. I mean, coolest hangout spot ever, because you've got a bird's eye view of everything that's going on in that front entryway and in the lobby and in the sitting room. And she tells us that her girlfriends and her used to hang out up there, but it's quite spooky and it's quite scary and it's quite unfinished. And the Travel Channel had wanted to do a documentary on, you know, California's most haunted hotels. And they sent a production crew to Sierra Sky Ranch to, you know, get a feel for how haunted the place may be, take the temperature of the location. And a crew went up into that mezzanine level and they were doing an EVP session and they found out that there was a child who was in the closet up there. At the bottom of the stairway, there's a little closet. And there was a child who was hiding in the closet. And he kept saying to them, "Please don't close the door on me. I don't like it when they close the door on me. It's very, very scary. I like it when they leave the door open." And the next day, after they had reviewed the EVP session and they had found this hidden message, they went back and they took some Hot Wheel cars and they put the Hot Wheel cars in the cupboard where the child was. And they're doing another EVP session and they say, Can you play Cars with us? Can you send the Hot Wheels car back out to us?" And they wait. And then all of a sudden, the Hot Wheel car comes rolling out of the cabinet and stops right at their feet. And she said the owner of the hotel was so terrified. She ran down. She called the whole thing off. She said, "Nope, that's it. We're done. We're not doing this anymore." But since that day, they leave that cabinet open because they know there's a child in there and they know that child is scared and doesn't like being closed in the closet. I say, "Oh gosh, I'd love to see up there." And she goes, "I'll take you up. Do you want to go up there?" And instantly we were both like, "Absolutely."
That was quite an exciting moment, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you had decided that you wanted to go all ghost hunters on us and you wanted to do a little recording.
So I had my camera out filming absolutely everything at this point, just trying to capture whatever I could. On the left-hand side, just before you go down the stairs immediately in front of you, there was this cupboard space. And that is the space where it said that this child still haunts. And we proceeded to go down the stairs. They're really creaking and it's quite old and spooky sounding. And we got to the bottom and there was this old bathroom in front of us that was completely disused, hadn't been used in years. And then to the left of this was this bedroom space. It's almost like it was an apartment for an old ranch hand or something. And I remember feeling quite disorientated at this point, because we'd gone up to the mezzanine level, then gone down these steps, and we're in this sort of old disused apartment area, but it was up in the roof. At this point, I vividly remember checking the camera to make sure it was recording. And I remember seeing the little red dot to show it was recording, and it was at 5:21. I really remember it so vividly. And I was just checking to see if we could see any orbs or anything crazy like that on the camera. And then we proceeded to go back up the stairs and back onto the mezzanine level where I then stopped the camera. And I distinctly remember saying, just before I ended the recording, saying, "Man, that was a crazy space, but thanks so much for showing us around." And it stopped.
After we were done filming the video, we'd realized it had gotten really late, and the woman who had shown us around had to go home. The night auditor had arrived and asked, "What were we doing?" We had told her what we had been up to, and she said that because she works alone at night, quite often she felt that she wasn't by herself, and she heard people walking around up on the mezzanine level, or knocks at the door only to answer it and find that there was no one there at all. But we ended up saying our goodnight and we decided to head into what they call their library, which is another quintessential American, you know, California ranch house style room with the big stone fireplace, the vaulted ceilings with the beams. And it's right outside of room 33, Sarah's room, where the nurse had passed with the two little children. And we sat down and we get Kyle's phone out and we say, let's look at the video, see if we can see anything on the video. And I have never seen you more terrified.
No, so I had a little sneaky peek while you were pouring out our glasses of wine. And the video was only around 4 seconds or so in length. And initially I thought I must have taken two videos and swiped to my right and realized there was only one video. So I was really initially devastated because I thought that whole thing I hadn't filmed. But I thought it was quite strange because I remember seeing the recording light. I remember you seeing the recording light. So I watched it back again. And that's when I stopped in my tracks completely. Now, the video went as such. We enter the space and you see us going into complete darkness. And then immediately you see us re-enter the light and come out of that space again.
As I was saying, man, that was a crazy space. Thanks so much for showing us around.
And the video was one video for it. It was not an edit that had done. And that's, I think, what took me so much by surprise was the fact that I know I was the one video in this. And I haven't edited it, or this is the first time that I've seen the video footage. And it was just the most crazy thing because I realized no one else has interfered with this. It's just me that was recording it.
So, what do you think it was? Do you think it was something paranormal?
That's the first time that I can categorically say I can't explain it. And I don't know, it just took me by surprise because I can genuinely say that it's not like it's one of those things where you hear a noise and you think, oh, that could be like the wind blowing against the window or creaky floorboards. You know, there's normally some sort of science behind this. For me, that's the first time I've experienced a situation where I was recording it and I can, hand on my heart, say, that whole thing was recorded. And for it to be one video footage, the way it seamlessly goes to us entering the space and then cutting out and us coming back, leaving the space, I can't explain that.
It's almost as though whatever it was didn't want that space filmed. It was their space. And all you get is the entrance and the exit, but none of the in-between because that was their space. That night ended and we went back to our hotel room and we were fine. I mean, I don't know. You were a lot more freaked out about it than I was. You were, I mean, absolutely pale, pasty, totally freaked out.
I think it's just the first time that's ever happened to me where I can't sort of suggest an explanation for it.
But we went to bed that night and I don't know, I was fine. It was fine. We went to bed. It was totally chill. And then I woke up with the most overwhelming sense of dread and doom and sadness and heaviness. And I sat bolt upright in bed and I always wear a watch. And I looked at my watch and it was 3 a.m. on the dot. And I remember just telling myself, oh, Becca, do not let that freak you out. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. You're fine. But I was really freaking scared. I was so scared. And I kept looking around the room because I just felt that like eyes were watching me. And it felt that people were walking up and down by the bottom of the bed. And I was absolutely terrified. And I woke you up. And I said, I'm really scared. I can't sleep. There's something going on here. But I kept telling myself, okay, you know, it's just because it's 3 a.m. If it was any other time, you'd be fine. You just got to get through 3 a.m. And 3 a.m. passed and 4 a.m. passed and 5 a.m. passed and I was in completely paralyzed fear. It was almost as though the energy was ramping up. It was getting darker. You know, there was no dawn happening. It was just getting darker in the room. It was getting scarier. I couldn't get back to sleep. I was absolutely terrified. But I did fall asleep around 5:30 in the morning. And I went into the darkest sleep ever, just this pitch black abyss. And then I started dreaming. And I had this dream that I was driving this old station wagon. And I could see these children that I don't have kids, but in this dream, I had two children and they were sitting in the backseat of this big station wagon. And we're driving down the road and I told them, we're going to pull over, we're going to pick this man up and he's going to get in the car with us, but he's very, very ill. So leave him alone. Don't mess with him. Just let him be. And we drive up, we pull over and this middle-aged man gets into the backseat with my kids. And I tell him, you know, don't worry, sir. We're gonna be there soon. You'll be fine. And my kids are jumping up and down in the back seat of the car, and they're being really poorly behaved. And I keep looking at them through the rearview mirror, saying, "Sit down, stop it, knock it off. Leave this poor man alone. He's very, very sick." And the man turns and looks at my kids, and he doesn't mean to, but he's just really ill. And he starts violently coughing. And as he's coughing, I start screaming, and the whole dream, the color just bleeds out of it, and it goes into slow-mo, and I start screaming, "Tuberculosis!" But I'm really screaming, and I'm terrified because I now know that my children have been infected by this man. And the whole dream is black and white, and it's all running in slow motion, and all of a sudden, my body just sinks into the bed. I'm completely paralyzed and my whole body is being violently pushed into the mattress and my eyes flip open. And I can still see in my mind's eye, I'm still in the car, I'm still with my kids, I'm still with this man, everything's still black and white, but I can see Kyle laying next to me in the bed. And I'm telling myself, you need to scream, you need to wake him up because I can't move. And I'm screaming and I'm screaming and I'm screaming and no sound is coming out. And I can just see him sleeping next to me completely peacefully as all these hands are pushing me further and further and further down into the bed. And as I'm trying to scream and nothing is happening and there's no sound coming out, finally, I have this triumphant moment where I'm able to get out this tiny little sound. And in my mind, I'm like, this is it. I'm going to wake him up. He's going to save me from this. But we were not experiencing the same thing.
This is why I love this part of the story. Because the way you describe it, and I know I've had those dreams before where they're so intense and you go through that fear and you're screaming. But being on the other side, sleeping next to you, all I heard was, oh, it was brilliant.
I mean, it was so scary. And he rolls over and I'm completely frozen. I mean, I've never in my life had sleep paralysis before. I've never had it since. I don't know if that was sleep paralysis. I don't know what it was. But whatever it was unbelievably terrifying. And I'm looking at him and my eyes are, I mean, as wide as pied pans. And he just opens his eye up and he looks at me like, "What are you doing?" And here I am waiting for my knight in shining armor to wake me up and be like, "It's okay, you're fine, it's all right." And you're totally giving me those eyes of like, "Could you stop that?" That's really irritating. But I finally woke up and I told Kyle, I'm like, "I am awake." And at this point, I looked at my watch and it was about 5:30 in the morning. And I said, "I'm awake now, I'm done. And I showered and I was awake. That was it. That was the day started for me. And I'm so glad that was our last night there because I would have been one of those people who would have left. But you didn't feel the same way because you went back.
I did.
We told everyone this story and we showed everyone the video. And I'm so glad we showed everyone the video. And we got back to London and you met up with your brother and you ended up telling him the story and showing him the video. And Ash instantly saw something that no one else had clocked.
In true Ash style, he was going through it meticulously. He's quite similar to me in this respect. Like, he needs hard evidence to categorically say he believes or doesn't believe. So he was going through the video and he stopped it and zoomed in. And I remember him just slamming the phone down on the table. And I was quite shocked at his reaction because I knew he'd sort of seen something. And he just said to me, "Look at that. Tell me what you see." So I picked it up and I immediately could see the outline of a little child. Now, where he'd stopped the video was just as we entered the space. To the left of that space is the closet where the child is said to have been and rolled out the little car. And directly opposite that, you can see this little child's face. And I'm getting hairs raised on my back right now. I've got the goosebumps going because it brought me back to that moment. And this is not something I spotted. As I say, it's something my brother pointed out. And it was just the most crazy, crazy thing that I've seen.
It's just a chilling image. It really, really is. And I wonder if that's the reason why we didn't get any video. If he just didn't want us filming his space.
Yeah, well, this is where the story gets a little bit crazier, to be honest. And I sent it around to a couple of people and I wanted to get their opinion and investigate it a little bit further. And so I sent it to three or four friends just to see what they thought of it, including Ash. Now, the crazy thing about this is I was telling someone this story, got to the finale where you're supposed to show the video footage and the evidence. And unfortunately, the video was gone. And I've not deleted it. So I thought, oh, maybe it's just something that happened on my phone, but every other photo and video from that trip I've still got on my phone. It was just that one specific one. So I asked Ash, my brother, if he could resend it so I could show my friend. And it turns out he hasn't got it anymore either. So then I asked my friend Jim, who I sent to. And again, he hasn't got it. Every single person that I sent that video footage to, including yourself, actually, it's gone. It's all backed up. I can't explain it. I don't know what's happened. So one of my best friends moved out to California the following year. And myself and my brother went out to go and see him. And I was telling him about our hiking in Yosemite and the crazy Sierra Sky Ranch stories. So we decided to go and stay again for a second time. And this time, slightly different experience because we requested to stay in Sarah's room. So when we get the keys to Sarah's room, room 33, I have to say I was slightly disappointed that night in John and Ash's bravery because we were all going to be staying up all night and doing our investigations. But I think as one was falling asleep, the other one was trying to keep the other one awake. So because we all kind of wanted to fall asleep first so we didn't experience anything, even though we were trying to. I have to say, on reflection, it was a scary place to go in having heard the stories and been through what we went through. However, as the night went on and towards the morning, I actually felt really comfortable in that room and really warm and welcome. And I put that as a little homage to Sarah herself, because when you hear the stories of this woman and how much she did for the children and how she looked after, I almost feel like it was she didn't want to make herself present because really we were a little bit freaked out by her. And that warm, cozy sort of feeling from that room, I feel like was her way of just sort of looking after us. So that's how I'm going to leave it as that.
So if you were to write your own TripAdvisor review, what would you say?
Go check it out for yourself. It's a wonderful, wonderful, interesting little place. I want to find out more.
Do you have a spooky story you'd like to share? I'd love to hear it. Drop me an email at thewestlondonwitch@gmail.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at thewestlondonwitch. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. And come and follow us for additional content on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. The West London Witch is created by me, Rebecca Strazina. Our sound designer and production magician is the incredible Danny Cross. Our theme music was bespokely written and performed by the wickedly talented Kyle Hall. Our cover art is the beautiful collaboration between Lizzie Wilson and Jake Bowser. Special thanks to Miss Sinead Bowers, our quality control and biggest cheerleader. And thank you to you, all of our listeners all over the world. These are your stories. Thank you for sharing them with us.